So what's everybody reading anyway?
I'm reading the Superman book right now.
You're reading what?
Superman.
Superman.
Shit ton of rebirth.
Yeah, we got every rebirth one.
I got a couple Marvel stuff. I got three superhero Marvel books and two Star Wars books.
Yeah, Han Solo. How's that been?
Han Solo's alright. Yeah, Han Solo, good art, solid setup. Poe Dameron has not been good. Which also came out this week, yeah.
Not like the Aquaman, and like that's Aquaman number two, so that's like the third issue in.
Yeah.
Is it holding up? I mean,
Aquaman is okay. I mean, it varies by book to book. Aquaman, I mean, none of the books have been bad yet. So.
None of them bad yet.
Well, I say that, but I haven't read this Justice League by Hitch yet.
Bum, bum, bum.
Man, I don't trust Hitch.
Well, I haven't been hearing any complaints so far, so.
Yeah.
Now, of course, sales have been doing good on all of them.
That's good.
Oh, hey, Eradicator's back.
And, or you just finished Superman number two?
Yeah.
Yay, nay.
I liked it. Kind of got the whole fatherly routine thing going on with Superman. It's kind of interesting to see. Spoiler from the end of the book, it looks like Eradicator's... I don't know if he's back or if he's never been in the New 52 or how that works.
I have no idea how...
Anyway, Eradicator
Superman, was there. I have no idea about Superman continuity in the New 52.
Well, yeah, that is one thing I was hearing people talk about now. The continuity getting kind of jumbled because Superman is the pre-New 52 Superman, mourning over the loss of the...
The book I just read is Old 52 Superman. Although, in the Rebirth issue, they implied that not all is what it seems, so maybe it's all fucking clones or some such thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm enjoying it for what it is so far.
Which, yeah. It's all you can do, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, Midsummer. Yeah, the Rebirth has been going over pretty well overall.
Yeah.
Now.
Pretty solid all around. I saw you reading on Justice League. I didn't pick that one up. But
I flipped through it. I mean, I didn't really read it. I don't have high hopes for it. Justice League is the one book out of all the books that I don't have high hopes for. Just going off of Brian Hitch's last Justice League book, which still isn't finished.
That's one of the reasons I didn't pick that one up. Which I guess also explains why this particular issue of Rebirth is a good month after all the others.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still have more Rebirth books to come out.
Right, Suicide Squad Rebirth still hasn't came out.
Yeah. There's another Green Lantern.
Well, I'm
book
sure they're waiting for the movie for that one.
Right, exactly. Which
gets like a month, almost a month exactly.
I went walking around the mall, killing time flies, having my oil changed, and Hot Topic and Spencer's coated in Suicide Squad stuff.
The hype is strong for this one, it seems. I'm still not sure if I'm going to go see it.
I'm going to go see it. This is probably the one DC movie that I'm actually semi-excited to see.
I guess that would make sense. It seems to be such a tonally different one from all the other DC
movies.
Yeah. This one's not all grimdark, it looks like, even though this is the one with the villains.
Well, I mean, it still looks dark, but it's okay, because it's a Suicide Squad movie. Suicide Squad movie should be a little dark.
Yeah, but, well, the latest trailer kind of seems like they're trying to ape Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit.
Kind of
zaniness, and they're playing the old
music.
Songs and, So, I guess the jury is out as it is.
Well, if they're half as successful as Guardians of the Galaxy, it will by far be the most successful DC movie to date.
True.
It's true.
Well, Guardians was lightning in a bottle.
So...
It'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Seeing all the Suicide Squad merchandise out there, I suspect, unless the movie is a total bomb, we're going to see a lot of Harley Quinn costumes this Halloween.
Well, that'll be a refreshing change of pace, won't it? Halloween costumes, I guess. But yeah, Harley Quinn's always been a favorite of cons.
Yeah, and I'd even seen a couple of women who had the hair dyed already, and the split blue and red like that.
Oh, man.
And not to be judgmental, but these were, for the most part, women I didn't want to see dressed up as Harley Quinn.
Oh, don't be an asshole, Larry.
you're not going to see me dressed up in tights. I worry.
I am thankful that I'm not going to see you be Deadshot or somebody.
No.
But another apt comparison to Guardians is that these are some really obscure characters they're throwing at us for this one.
Well, with the exception of Harley Quinn and the Joker, most people don't know any of these characters.
I consider myself a pretty, hardcore nerd. I don't know who some of these characters are, or at least I only have a passing familiarity with them. Like, I don't know about the Tattooed Man. I don't really know that much about Katana.
Tattooed Man is a Green Lantern villain. He can make his tattoos come to life.
I gathered that.
Basically.
Wasn't he originally in a Vertigo book?
I don't know.
I mean, I do know Killer Croc and Deadshot, and of course Harley Quinn. But other than that, yeah, they're throwing some real low-profile people into the movie.
Well, part of the Suicide Squad is not everyone makes it through the end of the movie.
Good point. That is kind of the whole point, is that they are cannon fodder.
Yeah, so it makes sense that they'll throw in a lot of lower-named characters, because they're characters they don't mind blowing their heads up.
Mm. Well.
That is refreshing when you go into a superhero movie knowing that someone could actually be dead and legitimately stay dead.
Well, a lot of people were calling for Cap or Iron Man, one or the other, to get killed in Civil War, but that didn't happen. And even if it did, most Marvel movies kind of pull back at the last second when they do seemingly kill someone.
That is true.
So,
but then again, I've always maintained that you don't have to kill people to have high stakes. It's not like some killing a character doesn't automatically make a movie better. It can be good, and if they do go through with it, it shouldn't be cheap, but I don't know. I don't think I'm not of the opinion that you have to have a huge body count to have, like, a gravitas to the movie.
And, the Tattooed Man appeared in a Vertigo book, Skin Graft, The Adventures of a Tattooed Man.
Did he really?
And, 1993, that was his first original appearance. And I say this, the only reason I actually knew this bit of comics collection, the collection I bought this morning had that in it.
Oh, wow, that's a coincidence.
Yeah. It also had the very first Suicide Squad, and it's like,
what a serendipitous occurrence there. Just in
movie hype. Bah, bah, bah.
Movie hype. But, I mean, a lot of people are still pissy about Will Smith passing on the Independence Day sequel so that he could do Suicide Squad, so let's hope it's good.
Yeah, but I don't know if Will Smith could have saved that movie.
Will Smith can save just about it. Well, never mind.
That movie definitely needed more charisma in it. Because I'm sorry, following Not Thor the whole time was not entertaining.
Ah, poor Liam Hemsworth. But, that is one thing that Will Smith does undeniably have in spades, is just all the charisma.
He has all the charisma. He's one of the most charismatic actors ever.
Yeah, he has a concentration of like 85% of the world's total charisma in one person.
And the character they would have had him play wasn't one of the main characters.
I'm assuming he would have been like the head of the pilot's corps or something.
Right, exactly.
He would have been the guy in the office sending them onto their death.
They would have ended up making it a totally different movie if Will Smith signed on.
By what I hear, that might not necessarily be the worst thing in the world.
It wasn't a bad movie. It was just a B sci-fi action.
Yeah.
So
It's not a bad movie, but it's not.
We were talking last week. The original Independence Day is also a bad movie, but it's the best kind of bad movie. It's a bad movie that I love. Whereas this sounds like a bad movie that's just forgettable.
It's kind of forgettable.
Independence Day.
I was utterly disappointed by it.
I didn't see the most recent weekend results. I do know that it opened second behind Finding Dory on its premiere weekend, and so that's...
Finding Dory is always going to be a juggernaut.
Finding Dory, I mean, is it half as good as Finding Nemo?
I have no idea. It doesn't matter, though.
It was good. I mean, even the bad Pixar movies are pretty good. I didn't care for it as much as I cared for Finding Nemo. I think that Finding Nemo was the better movie. Just for a couple of reasons. Like, okay, bit of a spoiler alert. Marlin and Nemo have nothing to do in this movie. Their entire subplot is kind of a waste of time. I mean, so, I guess they learn a valuable lesson about trusting Dory or whatever, but they were completely unnecessary in this movie.
So was it like Cars 2, where the main character from the first movie all of a sudden is like not in the movie at all, and it's all about what's there, the cable guy's character the whole movie?
I will take your word for it. I never saw Cars 2.
Cars 2 was actually pretty funny.
I think it's roundly panned.
It's the worst of the Pixar movies.
Oh, it is, but it's actually pretty funny because it's a James Bond spoof the whole time.
Well, I guess, again, that even the quote-unquote bad Pixar movies are, you know, pretty solid movies. But, yeah.
It's a bad movie, so it's a good bad movie.
Finding Dory was very charming. There were a lot of cute moments. But... at least right now, I don't think of it as like an instant classic the way that Finding Nemo was.
Well, it's hard to do that.
It's not in the very high echelon of the top tier Pixar movies. And again, that's kind of hard to do, understandably, but yeah, it's just how I feel. But speaking of movies that did terribly, Tarzan apparently has...
That doesn't surprise me at
not
all.
Done
yeah,
so
yeah
well.
Were we expecting good things out of the Tarzan movie?
No.
Realistically.
Well, no. But Warner Brothers was probably hoping for one.
Speaking of Tarzan and Disney, wasn't like the Tarzan cartoon one of the biggest bombs? Wasn't that a big bomb
was
for
it?
Them? Yeah, because
no,
it was one of the most expensive.
Good.
It was like the most expensive cartoon they had ever made up to that point.
Well, it done really well, but yeah, it was expensive because all Tarzan moves they motion captured Tony Hawk.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Because where they show him like sliding down these vines and stuff like that.
Like he's on a skateboard or something.
Yeah,
like
and so yeah. They actually had, they motion captured Tony Hawk and paid him to skate around all
that
this
was
crazy
pretty
stuff.
Cool.
What
I'm
a good use
that,
of budget.
I'm assuming that Phil Collins demanded a pretty hefty paycheck for his role in the song making, but
I'm sure.
This might be a case.
That's the problem with the new Tarzan movie. It doesn't have enough Phil Collins in it.
Well, that's true of most movies. But so I remember Tarzan being pretty good, the Disney cartoon one.
Oh yeah, it wasn't bad.
This might be a case of the BioShock Infinite syndrome, where BioShock Infinite was a great game, an excellent game. It was impossible for them to recoup their budget that they used, though.
Oh god, yeah.
Well, and I'm sure Tarzan has made back their money now.
Well, by now,
definitely,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 15 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's because a lot of those Disney movies, even the flops make their money back once they hit DVD sales and stuff like that, you know.
Merchandising and all that other good stuff.
Right.
How if you want to count the Disney park rides that are based off of them, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, so...
I don't think Tarzan has a theme park, right?
Really? Seems like such a natural fit for the Animal Kingdom park.
Maybe in the Animal Kingdom, but none comes to mind.
Well, I guess I haven't been to Disney World in a while, but I don't know, I'm surprised if they don't even have like one of those like live-action show things for it. Well, whatever. We are getting really far afield. Right.
Secret Life of Pets, is that a Pixar movie?
It's a DreamWorks.
That's a DreamWorks movie.
Which
spit on your screen. But no, yeah, that's the latest in the DreamWorks. It's done by the Despicable Me Minions crew.
Oh, yeah.
It looks all right. I mean, I have no interest in seeing it, but...
I have no interest in seeing it
either. That's like a wait-for-it-to-come-on-TV movie for me, if at all.
Right, right. Yeah, that was just... I've seen some commercials. The commercials seem interesting, but the way they're doing, like, the commercials, they're also doing, like, advertisements for sponsors of the movies in, like, they're having care... So, like, I was watching what was a lot of amount of over-the-air TV for me with uh-huh. commercials and everything, because my brother was in the hospital. He's okay now. But I kept seeing commercials for different, like, pet products, you know, done by the... And it was really hard to tell what was the trailers and which ones were the advertisements for legitimate products. And the sad thing is, I think some of the legitimate commercials were funnier than some of the trailers. Hmm. You know, I'd end up thinking it was a movie trailer, and then they'd say, buy Friskies or whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not a great sign for the movie.
So, I don't know.
Well, DreamWorks has always been a kind of a hit-or-miss studio.
Well, DreamWorks' problem also is that when they do get a hit, they do it to death.
Oh, yeah. Like Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda.
Like four or five
Shrek's
of those movies
probably the
now.
Best example. The
oh,
first
Shrek? Yeah, definitely
the first two Shrek.
Shrek
movies were great, but then it became a parody of itself after a while. Shrek 3 and 4 were just bland as all hell.
You didn't like Shrek Forever After?
Not really, no.
I don't think I've seen that one.
I saw it, and I couldn't... all the plot for you because it was a very forgettable movie.
You know, I remember the first one, and I think we said all we needed to say. I mean,
yeah, but yeah, that's DreamWorks. They get something that works, and then they never stop.
Man, it's like toys. Really, how much more did we need to say?
Actually,
or Toy Story, actually.
Well, they are working on a Toy Story 4, but according to the Pixar higher-ups, after that, the next three or four projects are all going to be entirely original. Oh, wait, also Incredibles 2. After
Incredibles 2
and Toy Story 4, we're going to be getting a...
Which is
they're
going to
be easing off the sequels.
Because most of the sequels are never as good as the original ones. Toy Story might be an exception to that. Toy Story has always been good.
Toy Story 2 was... I thought it was fine, but it probably wasn't as good as Toy Story 1. Toy Story 3, though, is probably the best movie they've ever made. So, Pixar can be an exception to a lot of rules in a lot of different ways, but they are great storytellers, and they've earned any benefit of the doubt you want to extend to them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Pixar. Alright.
But, anyway.
So, we are recording right now, right? You did one of those stealth starts on us again, I think.
Yeah.
Alright.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I don't know how stealth it was. You were in the middle of reading a book, so...
Well, yeah, that's true. You might have already done the intros, and I just missed it over. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, we haven't done the intros yet. Usually I like to wait till somebody points that out, as per tradition. But yeah.
Well, you pointed it out. So.
I did. Yeah. So, tradition upheld.
Well,
one of these days we're going to do these and just have no intros whatsoever.
Well, we have done intros and final thoughts right after before.
See, they're not intros at that point.
Those are outros. Yeah.
Well, you know, if we do the intros and then go back around and do
the
final
thoughts.
Final
thoughts happen in the middle of the podcast anyway.
Right, exactly.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, so final thoughts has become a bit of a misnomer because they tend to drag on for half an hour nowadays.
Well, anyway, I am your host, Lawrence of America, and with me today is...
Taylor.
And Adam.
And now I'm the lone one with the name.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Useless Jules is in here, and the Irredeemable Gomer is in here, and...
The Irredeemable one hasn't been here for a while.
The Irredeemable one actually has a good,
solid
excuse
today. Yeah. Babysitting because of reasons, which I don't know if he wants us to get into.
Probably not.
Yeah. Oh, but it is his birthday, so happy birthday, Gomer.
Yeah, you selfish bastard.
Indeed.
Jules was able to come by and ran away.
Classic Jules.
So, yeah.
Jules is... The only thing Jules doesn't disappoint you on is not disappointing you. He's always there to disappoint you. And that's, you know, the one area where he doesn't disappoint you is his consistency in disappointing you. Fuck you, Jules.
Now, we're wrong one thing, and I was trying to figure out whether and I was correct. There's like a hidden class number for special effects that a lot of people took, and they hide these numbers in a lot of the Pixar movies. Like, was it?
Yeah, it was like the classroom, like where they all met or whatever.
Right.
And took the class. Supposedly they work it into a lot of movies.
But isn't it 119?
It might be. I don't recall what it specifically is, but I have heard that before. Yeah, that they try to sneak it into the movie. Along with the Planet, or sorry, Pizza Express or Pizza Planet. What was the name of the thing?
Pizza Planet.
Pizza Planet, yeah. Not Planet Express, but yeah.
Close.
Yeah, Pizza Planet gets worked into various scenes in the movies. Like in WALL-E, it was like, there's like the debris of a sign or a car or something.
It was very distracting in The Good Dinosaur, let me tell you.
I never did see The Good Dinosaur. Was it good?
It was pretty good.
Okay.
They used actual locations for most of the movie, and then they animated the dinosaur into it, and it was a very pretty movie. It was a very well shot movie.
Wow. Well, that sounds cool. I'll have to check that out if I get a chance.
A113, that's what it...
Okay.
Alright, so...
Why are you having us sit here and guess? You have a computer.
Well, no, I was trying to Google it, and I was like, I couldn't find it.
Just playing with us. Just let's watch them guess.
Okay, so... So, I'm talking about various breaches in classified information throughout history.
Yeah.
And so, Project A119 was a plan to nuke the moon.
That's a good plan. We should totally do that.
Wouldn't that kill us all?
Well, maybe.
It would throw off the debris didn't kill us. It would like throw off the tides and shit.
So they...
Hey, man, we're in Tennessee. We're fine.
They hired a young scientist to work up a mathematical equation of what would happen if the moon were to blow up or this or that or... Now, if it was possible to nuke the moon and do this model, and that was actually Carl Sagan.
Oh, Carl Sagan, okay.
Who blew their cover when he listed that job on a job application.
You know, I'm just thinking of the plot of Austin Powers 2 right now, with the part where he's on his moon base, and their friend's like, "We got so many nukes, let's just nuke the moon." Sir, you sure so you guys can blow up the moon? Would you miss it?
But yeah, you shouldn't blow up the moon.
It's a
bad idea.
It's a poor choice. Yeah.
But we can, and that's the important part.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that...
Well, and this was...
We have the freedom to do so.
Well, and this is was done in response to Sputnik.
Well, I guess that is kind
of... You launch a satellite, I blow up the moon.
Well, what they wanted to do was launch something, a bomb that would basically be a giant flash bomb that would scare people... show with an by their might to be able to blow
that
up the moon.
Scare people into nuclear war.
Also, wouldn't like the nighttime be pitch black if we don't have the moon like reflecting the sun's light at us?
Well, you'd still have some stars and stuff.
Yeah, but it would be a lot darker.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
But anyway, ultimately, the powers that be decided it was not a good idea.
If they had done that, we all would have, I think, been born after the moon was blown up.
We wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, so people would be like talking about, like, hey, there used to be a moon. It would be like, okay, whatever, crazy grandpa. No one believed me.
Big ball of light at night. Ooh.
That would be so crazy to think of, like, there used to be a moon, but we grew up having never known it.
I would know. It would be like an asteroid field or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, that. We'd have a little asteroid belt around the area.
This is starting to sound like a bad sci-fi short story. That's what you write. Just growing up without a moon. Because
no, we'd have moons. Man's ignorance or something. We'll just have like thousands of little tiny moons.
Okay, yeah, technically if you're going to count just anything floating around the Earth as a moon, we got like tens of thousands between all like the satellite providers and whatnot.
I like those moons.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they're doing something for us, regular moon. Get to it. We're just beaming information back to us.
There's so much crud floating around there from drop space missions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff where people have launched satellites and just like, well, we're not going to use that one anymore. It's out of date. Yeah. I mean, like, do you remember the Star Wars defense plan?
Oh, yeah.
Plan?
Well, I don't remember it, but I know of it, yeah.
All right, so they canceled that thing and decided not to deal with it because, you know, it was going to shoot a nuke with a nuke was the whole idea.
I thought it was going to shoot the nukes with lasers that orbit around the Earth. I mean,
they never figured out how to make lasers that powerful.
Yeah, I mean,
so
we can make lasers pretty easily, but yeah, they got to be pretty hot to detonate a warhead.
So the preliminary plan was to shoot small nukes at it. They actually shot up 187 satellites with nukes that are still floating around. Because
one question you got to ask is, couldn't they just like throw a rock at it or something hard enough and it would just make it detonate?
That's not cool enough.
Okay, my bad.
We have to show off a little bit.
Maybe it could be a missile, but does it have to be another nuke? I mean, I feel like just about anything should make it detonate, right?
Well, yeah, I guess they want something powerful enough to irradiate it. I don't know.
Mission accomplished. It's a nuke. It's going to be irradiated no matter what you do.
Fair enough. Hey, I'm not saying that was a good idea either.
Okay, so...
But, anyway...
Well, it's glad anytime, to know.
The next
glad
time someone... The next time someone complains about how dumb millennials are or whatever, I'm going to point out they used to have plans for shooting lasers at nukes from space.
Yeah, I mean...
And they wanted to blow up the moon at one point.
I mean, every generation has had a really stupid idea.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, Star Wars Defense was in the 80s. The plan to blow up the moon was in the 50s.
I mean,
YOLO was in the millennials.
Yeah, we got YOLO the selfie stick. And I would argue that those aren't as catastrophically endingly stupid as these other things we've been talking about.
Oh, well, you know.
I mean, I do think selfie sticks are stupid. I give you that, but they...
But millions of people won't die because of the selfie sticks.
Well, I guess we can concoct a scenario where like, somebody's like in charge of like stopping the spread of a deadly nerve gas, but they were too busy using their fucking selfie stick or something.
Yeah, I mean... I'm sure there's been many a person injured by a selfie stick.
Probably.
Probably.
I mean...
And my hope is that a lot of them were the people who were originally trying to use the selfie stick.
Well, yeah, it would just be sad and tragic if, like, that someone was, like, using a selfie stick and, like, someone who was just, you know, going about their business, like, tripped over it or something through no fault of their own.
Well, and here's my thing. Why do people want to buy a $500 phone and put it on a $5 plastic stick? And hold it way out in the middle of the air. Why does that seem like a good idea?
I mean, just... I would almost rather just hand it to someone I can quasi-trust. Like, hand it to, like, a... Like, either, like, a fat person or someone in a wheelchair so that they can't possibly get away from you if they decide to try to run for it. And just have them take the picture.
And address your hate mail, too. Well, you know, maybe they could go downhill. You want to do it, you know, where they could only have no option but uphill. Yeah.
Sure. So I guess we should talk about some comic-related stuff at this
point. Well, I started, but you were like, reading a bunch of Rebirth, whatever. Yeah.
Well, you kind of caught me unawares while I was at the... end of an issue, and I talked about it. I said the stuff I liked about it. What do you want from me, Larry?
Everything. Oh. 110%.
Oh, well, my bad. I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
I expect you to go out and get 10% of somebody else and give that as long as well as your all.
Okay, so give, like, all of myself and then, like, hack off someone's arm or something?
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. 110. Oh, yeah. I guess the arm would be, like, 20%.
Yeah, an arm would be a little bit more than 10%.
Are we going, like, surface area or body mass?
I don't know.
Probably body mass.
There's a question I never thought I'd ask.
Dealer's choice.
You know, speaking of questions you never thought you'd ask, that sounds like some one of those, like, kind of, like, weird D&D things that would come up where you're just, like... Do I have to bring you 10% of the elf, like, body mass or surface area? Okay, but comedy
brings
though,
out the worst person out of everyone.
D&D can lead to some awful situations. But anyway, probably the big news in the comic world right now is that they've announced that there is going to be a new Iron Man out and about. Or... maybe an Iron Woman is more apt to say, because
it'll Iron girl. She's 15.
Yeah, a 15-year-old black girl who, in recent issues of Invincible Iron Man, dropped out of MIT because she was too smart for it. Well, she built an Iron Man armor in her dorm room with a bunch of shit she stole from some labs. So yeah, she's pretty effing smart.
But she didn't go to class because she was too busy building this Iron Man suit. So she gets kicked out. Yeah.
Got kicked out of MIT. Or rather, she said, I think I'm done with school, and then he just burst her way out.
Once you have an Iron Man suit, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you've probably learned all you can learn from even a prestigious university like MIT.
You know, I mean, why study robotics once you've built the robot?
Yeah. Fair enough. But I think I remember seeing that apparently she's a...
She's the niece of Rhodey.
Rhodey's niece.
Yes.
Who, spoiler alert, the recently deceased Rhodey from... the events of Civil War.
Yep.
Two.
And her name is Riri.
Yeah, I was building up to that. That's my big hang-up right now, is that Riri is one of the dumbest names I have ever heard. It's something you would call, like, a five-year-old child.
Well, I'm going to have to say that choosing that name goes up in some Colossus... bad mistakes. Or colossal bad mistakes.
I mean, I'm assuming her real name is Rita? Can we just call her Rita or something?
I really hope that's not her real name. I think Carlos Mencia made that unusable as a real name.
Oh, man. Everybody has forgotten Carlos Mencia.
Yeah.
Carlos Mencia.
No, no. All the other comedians that sued the crap out of him did not, probably have not.
Well, they already got their money from
pop culture had let Carlos Mencia go, and damn you for bringing him back.
But, you know, I
was perfectly fine not remembering his name for the rest of my life.
Well, apparently that's not his real name. It's something like, what, Ned or something?
Right.
Whatever.
Well, all I'm saying is, the term Riri has become... commonly used as a derogatory slur.
Oh, I wasn't even aware of that. That's awful.
Or at least at one point it was, and I don't know if that was an appropriate name choice.
Well, I'm perfectly okay with having a new Iron Man, and, you know, good on Marvel for increasing their diversity. That's always a great thing to see.
Right. Yeah.
Riri is a stupid fucking name.
Riri is a stupid name. And, I mean, this book is getting a lot of flack because, you know, it's getting a lot of flack because of the race thing, and it's getting a lot of flack because of the girl thing.
Well, those people can go to hell.
And those people can go to hell.
But at the same time,
stupid.
I don't... I'm in an awkward position where, like, I don't... The reason people are bringing that crap up, they can all go to hell. But the book itself is getting pretty heavy in the Bendisness. And I do not mean that in a good way.
And it's in the bad realm of Bendisness.
Yeah.
I love the first arc. The first arc was alright, but we were talking about this before the podcast, and pretty sure that the first arc was great because Marquez was doing the art.
Marquez was a great artist. And it also had some fun moments.
It
was great, like the awesome facial hair bros thing with Doctor Strange. That was great.
That was great.
Those were some of my favorite panels I've ever seen. But the second arc has gone on, like, already 3 issues longer than
it's proven that Civil War II ruined everything. Because...
Civil War II.
It's just been...
Theoretically, though, this should be... If Bendis is writing that and this should be the thing that's tying in the best.
but it's not as though he's having to write around some other artist's agenda. He's writing around himself, so theoretically that should fit perfectly, but yeah, it's...
He's getting in his own way. It's too convoluted. The plot doesn't line up right.
Spider-Man was wasted in his appearance. He didn't do anything. They've been a lot of standing around talking instead of actually doing stuff.
The whole issue where the art was missing was stupid. Yeah, and the more I see Deodato's art, the less I like it.
He's a better fit for other characters. Like, I think he'd do fine for things like Secret Avengers a few years ago, where it was all kind of like the... like vanilla human Avengers like Black Widow and Shang-Chi and stuff. I thought he was a good fit for that book, but I don't think he's doing particularly well with Iron Man. I mean, it's not bad, it's just...
It's not bad, but it does nothing to excite me. Yeah. And it definitely doesn't have the same look and appeal and sort of cinematic style that Marquez's art did.
Is the new suit powered by a reactor or whatever?
His new suit at the start of this new Invincible Iron Man.
No, the new Iron Man.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. But she's only been about 2 issues or so, and we don't really know much about her.
The big claim for Tony's new suit was that it's all of his suits in one. Like, you saw him, like, instantly transform into the Hulkbuster to try to punch Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom being Dr. Doom, just, you know, force fielded it, but this new one... It's probably not the best suit, and, you know, as impressive as it is, she still built it out of a bunch of cast-offs from various robotics labs. Or, not cast-offs, but stuff she stole from various robotics labs. So, we do not, as of yet, know how she's going to become the new Iron Man. And apparently they are saying that she is Iron Man.
She is Iron Man, yeah. And, you know, I kind of like what Marvel's doing. I like the fact that we're getting sort of these new legacy characters out of Marvel. We have new Nova, we have a new Miss Marvel, we have a new Spider-Man.
Well, Iron Man is more of a title versus a person per se.
Well, see,
you know, kind of like Thor the name and Thor the job title.
Well, the Thor thing, you know, passing on the hammer, that makes a lot of sense. You could argue that Iron Man is inherently a non-gender neutral name, but then again, you know, there's been more push to kind of, you know, move away from gender binary and whatnot. I don't know if that's what they're doing here, but I do think that they are acknowledging that if they called her like Iron Girl or Iron Woman or something, that inherently makes her kind of a derivative character, because the character is Iron
makes her
Man.
Not as important.
Yeah. Sorry, someone just...
But yeah,
punched my arm and I wasn't paying attention. Didn't see who it was. But anyway.
All that being said, I'm going to use this changeover because they're starting over again at number one. They're relaunching Invincible Iron Man at number one with her coming out. And unfortunately, I'm going to use it as an excuse to drop Iron Man because then this is Iron Man hasn't been good.
Cap Nazi being the Cap Nazis gave me my excuse to drop Sam Wilson, as well as the Steve Rogers.
Still a pleasant hill to that for me.
The tie-ins I thought were fine for that, but
some of the tie-ins were alright. Like,
I do feel as though they mishandled the whole 75th anniversary issue. I mean, they had Steve Rogers being punched in the face on the cover of that issue. It feels like, is that the like legacy issue you want to do for the 75th anniversary? Like, 5 years from now, when no one gives a shit about the story arc anymore, are we going to look up the 75th anniversary and see, why is Steve getting punched in the face? He's the hero. Oh, apparently not, but that's already going to be forgotten, we know, because he's not actually a Nazi, we already know.
Yeah, they wheeled that back fast.
Yeah, we were talking last week, we were surprised that they did not string us along further than they did.
Yeah, I figured it would at least go through an arc, if not a year before they did that.
We all knew it wasn't real.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely not real, but it reeked of clickbait and just...
It was definitely that.
It reeked of clickbait?
Yeah, it does reek of clickbait. I mean, this is a headline grab.
No, I mean, just think, you say, reeks of clickbait, you know. Real local women want to meet you. Click now, or
well, okay,
regrow your hair. Yeah.
When I think of clickbait, my first thought is 20 things only 90s kids will get. Or like, you won't believe what this person does when they stop at the traffic light, or you know, stuff like that.
Right. See what they look like now.
It's kind of a catch-all term for just
something that you put out there to try and like draw in the attention.
Yeah, it's just a headline grab. It's all it is.
It's just weird.
You won't believe the twist of Captain America number one. You know.
You know, think click. You know, it's, you're saying clickbait, and the click being the click of a mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
referring to
a website
a
put up
physical medium.
Old man Larry doesn't know the modern jargon. It seems he's about to chase us off with his cane. I guess.
Put on my lawn,
old man.
It just seems a weird.
It's a real expression.
I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems weird to refer to it.
What is clickbait?
You know,
I mean,
it's like
I thought it was a perfectly appropriate term to use.
Well, I mean, I get it; it makes sense. But it's like me saying I'm googling my key, where to find my keys, you know? Or
What it is is
the overwhelming majority of people who got this news got it over the internet.
Yeah, get it over the internet. The way it's designed is you're scrolling through the Facebooks and then you see Captain America is a Nazi and you're like, what? Let's click that and figure out what it is.
Yeah.
You get the attention. Yeah. But
that is how it went down.
But then they walked that back.
They walked it back with exceptional haste. But anyway. It's only fair to wait and see how it is before you pass judgment, but I don't wait to pass judgment on Riri being a stupid, stupid name.
So I'm not passing judgment.
I mean, there's like someone listening right now is named Riri, and they're bursting it in here.
I'm not passing judgment on Riri as a character. I'm passing judgment on Bendis as a writer and off of his past works. It's the same reason.
Fair.
It's the same reason why I didn't give Steve Rogers Captain America number one a chance, is because I, after reading his Nick Spencer's Sam Wilson, I knew his Captain America's bad. So I know Riri is not going to be a great read because this is Iron Man up to now has been bad.
That's perfectly fair. It's always fair.
Are they
to
setting
judge
up
the creator
for Iron Man to fall? No, for Tony Stark to
fall.
Well,
Civil War 2
is. Some of the rumor going around is that maybe Tony Stark is an AI now, because we all the preview images, it's him in like holographic form. Or, I honestly have no idea.
I don't know.
I'm already burnt out on Civil War, and it's only two issues in.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me for them to kill off Tony Stark as Robert Downey Jr.'s contract ends, and
see, that's just the worst case scenario if every creative decision they make is based off of tying in with the movies. I mean, I don't deny that it doesn't happen. I mean, they had, when the Avengers came out, they had a Avengers team kind of like ham-fistedly contrived to be just the six from the movie. I think that was Avengers Assemble or some such thing.
And when they had Avengers 2 come out, they had the Rage of Ultron book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these things obviously do happen, but I'd prefer it to be not the absolute priority center.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, the movies are what pays the bills.
Yeah.
Comic books are just here to keep up, you know, the name.
So, if we look at the comic industry in the whole, how well the Marvel movies have been doing versus how well the Marvel comics have been doing, and if you invert that with DC.
Break down what you just said. I'm not sure I follow.
So, the better the Marvel movies do, the worse the comic books do.
That's not true, though, because for the
Marvel still
Marvel,
like half the market.
Yeah, Marvel's
even
been,
with Rebirth. I mean,
Marvel's been making movies for almost a decade now, and for this past decade, Marvel's been kicking DC's ass.
Very much so.
Yeah, it's only been the last 6 months,
if that.
Okay. If that,
yeah,
that Marvel
like
has started
months,
slipping.
Really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm not. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're still overall winning. It's just that they don't have like the ridiculous margin of victory that they did have.
It's just that DC started trying all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, yes, they're. Although, yeah, I mean, it's worth saying that my bag this week of comics that I got was overwhelmingly DC.
Well, DC's the new shiny thing. It's the new thing on the shelf. So the problem with all the Marvel books now is it kind of has a been there, done that feel to it. It needs something to kind of light the fire again, because I feel sort of drained by Marvel after Secret Wars.
Secret Wars was outstanding, but I guess it is kind of a what have you done for me lately thing.
Exactly.
That being said, I still love Jason Aaron's Thor. I still love G. Willow Wilson's Ms. Marvel. Those have not dropped off for me in the light, at least. But
the vast majority of the line is just stagnant.
That's fair enough.
Well, now, Secret Wars, the event was good, but yet it pretty much reset a lot of stuff now.
I'm still not sure what it did and did not reset. I mean, the end of Secret Wars, they reset that whole beginning of New Avengers, where Black Panther watched a bunch of, you know, super brainy kids die. That didn't happen anymore. They directly showed that, but Wakanda was still invaded by Thanos and his goons, because they're talking about that in Black Panther, so I'm not sure why that still would have happened if none of the incursion stuff had happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusing continuity. They're running into a New 52-esque confusion and continuity that they need to fix.
Marvel, for the most part, has always been wise about not resetting continuity for that very reason, is because it becomes a clusterfuck after
it does.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's just going to have to be, don't worry about it. You're just going to have to accept that it doesn't make sense.
And honestly, that Black Panther book, it's so far out on its own.
True.
As far as a book goes. That
it is kind of out on an island. It's been very good.
It's been... He needs to figure out how to write for a comic book, but the story itself is good.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't understand yet the medium that he's writing in. He's
well,
used to
this
writing
is
novels.
His new,
yeah, exactly.
New medium to
I mean,
medium
even very talented writers like Neil Gaiman, when he was writing Sandman Overture, said that I do need to sit down and rediscover how to write for comics.
Because
he's been writing books
different.
And TV shows and various other things the whole time. And yeah, I mean, that's a fair point.
Because writing for an individual issue is way different than writing for a big, long novel overall, and he still needs to figure that out, but I think the story that he's telling is really good. But yeah, it's definitely out completely on its own.
The prose of it is very moving.
It is.
That being said, I'm just really confused by the continuity is my thing.
It is, yeah.
But in any event, other comic news, Marvel announced that they're doing a new Champions book featuring a lot of the teen characters.
And I like that, because it sort of builds a sense of legacy. Like, well, you remember back in the day in DC where you had Kyle Reiner, you had Wally West, you know, you had all these legacy characters in the Justice League, and it feels sort of like they're sort of trying to build that over at Marvel.
Well, that's a good point.
Because Marvel's never really had that.
We've got Ms. Marvel, we've got Amadeus Hulk, we've got New Nova, Sam.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to succeed.
We've got past Cyclops. I don't know if we want to count him as a legacy.
I wouldn't count him.
Yeah, teen Cyclops, whatever. I forget who else is in the book, but I mean, it's going to be written by Mark Waid,
and that's my only.
They said G. Willow Wilson's going to be helping with it, so that's
that might help.
Creative change.
I mean, the three younger characters have been the most interesting part of his all-new, all-different Avengers, which honestly isn't saying much because that book hasn't been great. It's been pretty mediocre.
Yeah, it's squarely a mediocre book.
Yeah.
I don't regret reading it, but it's...
It doesn't do anything for you, though. It's kind of a take it or leave it.
You enjoy it while you read it for the most part, but then you can put it down and just forget about it.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. And so
it's not a reread, like some
so
of the
I'm,
best...
So I'm hoping Mark Waid gets it together with these characters, because he seems to like writing all the younger characters more than he likes writing the older ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know Gomer wasn't looking forward to this book. Champions.
Yeah. Well, if Gomer cared enough to be here, he could voice his opinion on that. We're just kidding, Gomer. But you
no,
do
we're
suck.
Not.
You do suck. But. Gomer. So, yeah, that's something to look forward to. I forget when they said it was dropping. In the fall, I think?
After Civil War 2.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, like, this time next year?
Well,
just the way
you know,
they
might pull a Forever Evil or Secret Wars and start the new line before the
See,
the
that's
over.
That's actually a good thing to bring up because Forever Evil was delayed all to hell and it kind of went to shit and it's caused all sorts of problems. Secret Wars caused a lot of continuity problems, but I didn't mind the delays because I knew the quality would be there when it eventually got to it.
Forever Evil was written well, but David Finch got really lazy at the end. His art was sloppy. Yeah.
So, and aren't they going to have, like, another Marvel now?
Yeah.
I'm sure they are. Yeah, that's probably what this whole new Iron Man's going to be a part of. I'm sure this Champions thing is going to be a part of it, too.
Yeah.
So. I mean, they always do something.
Yeah, another Marvel,
another Marvel
soft
thing.
Reboot, whatever.
Renumbering. Relaunch, if you will.
Wow.
Not a reboot, because that's an important distinction.
Well, it could be a soft reboot. A soft reboot is different.
It's not a reboot to me unless you are resetting continuity. Whereas a relaunch or a renumbering or whatever, like, you're starting over at number one with the publication, sure, but the characters are not undergoing any sort of drastic change.
Well, as far as the two books that we're talking about, they are continuations of current ongoing stories.
So that's why I would not use the reboot term in this case. Well. Right. So yeah, that's all I know about going on in the world of comics. You got anything?
Comics related? No, not really. I mean, Flintstones number one came out this week. Any of you guys gonna read that?
No.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Well, it's been selling okay.
Future Quest number two came out. That's pretty
exciting.
Yeah,
that's pretty exciting. That's the only Hanna-Barbera.
Hanna-Barbera has been doing okay with the nostalgia factor.
Yeah. I mean, so far,
I think I'm the only one on the quote unquote panel who isn't shitting all over Scooby Apocalypse, but definitely Future Quest was the more enjoyable read so far. Although,
so,
I haven't read the second issue yet.
Now, have you read Scooby 2?
Well, Scooby Apocalypse.
Scooby Apocalypse number two.
I did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was fine. I mean, they need to start the story and stop kind of just setting up the story, but it's been an okay read, I think. I think it perhaps would read better in trade, but
that's kind of one of the vibe I'm getting.
Well, honestly, these books are probably designed to sell better in trade anyway. You would think.
Yeah.
Sort of like the Star Wars books. Those are totally made to be sold in trade.
Very much so. I mean, except for Vader and main Star Wars, they've all been just like short one-off stories.
Yeah, six issue.
Yeah, five or six.
5 or 6 issue story arcs, yeah.
Which, of course, you know, Vader's ending, so I guess they're going to do Kanan as an ongoing or something for a while.
Poe Dameron's ongoing.
Poe Dameron,
yeah. Poe Dameron's an ongoing book. It shouldn't be, but it is.
I don't think that originally intended that to be an ongoing. It was originally marketed.
It's not a good book. I mean, Phil Noto's art is amazing in it, but Charles Soule's script is not very inspiring.
One thing that's worth noting is that what's the thing people like about Poe Dameron from Force Awakens is he's like the best pilot. He kicks all the ass.
Well, so far it's
been a lot of him just sitting in a cave.
What people like about Poe Dameron in the movies is how charismatic he is.
That is true.
And it is really hard to get that charisma and put it onto paper.
That's fair. I mean, it's kind
of
hard
so
to
much
capture
of it,
that Oscar Isaac
yeah,
magic.
Yeah, it's...
I'm not even being sarcastic.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's Oscar Isaac is just a super charismatic
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, so the 15% of the world's charisma that isn't in Will Smith is in Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, you can't put Oscar Isaac on paper and expect to have the same sort of charisma. And I like, Gomer was talking about this last week or the week before on Geeks of the Square Table, or not Geeks of the Square Table, Geeks, what's that other podcast we do? Geek of the Week?
This is Geek and Comics.
I don't even know the name of the podcast.
Yeah, because we're freaking professional.
I know, right?
But hey, we're getting better.
We're getting better. Like eight.
But yeah, he was reading the Force Awakens comic book adaptation, and you know, he was complaining about, yeah, I mean, it has all the lines from the movie, but it doesn't, it just doesn't have the same sort of charisma or delivery.
Why did he even bother picking that up? I mean, I already know exactly what's going to happen. What's the point?
I don't know. But
that kind of reminds me of the people who do, like, there's like a text version of Infinite Crisis I saw in a bookstore one time, and it's just like, why on earth would anyone want to read this? It's not the intended medium. Force Awakens, you're right, is intended to be a movie, and
oh, yeah,
that probably just does not translate to comic book. And it's probably fine for what it is, but it's inherently an inferior version of something it wasn't meant to be.
But specifically, he was complaining about the scene where Poe Dameron, at the very beginning of the movie, gets captured by Kylo Ren, and he gets brought before Kylo Ren, and they're sitting there for a second, and then Poe Dameron's like, so who talks? Do I talk? Do you talk? Who starts talking? And when you see that in the movie, you instantly get a feeling from Oscar Isaac that he's a super charismatic.
That scene is awash in Oscar Isaacness.
Yeah, he's you know, a very brave sort of, I don't know, a little bit of a risk taker.
There's no word for it. It's Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, exactly. And you can put those same dialogue into a comic book, but it doesn't really work because you don't have the delivery, you don't have all of that stuff, and that's why the Poe Dameron book doesn't work, because it doesn't have that same feel to the character.
Fair points.
And then that's something in a novelization that was just totally text, you know. You could imply a little more than you could in just a comic.
Something that novelization could potentially bring to the table is extra details that they couldn't put into a movie.
And also you catch all the little, you'd be able to catch all the little details. That's why something originally is a book versus a movie is usually better, even if the movie's true to the book. Because when you read it, You're being fed all these little details, and you observe everything. Movies, you know,
movies, books, and comics all have their unique strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
And you cannot directly translate one to the other. Like, okay, even you were talking about let's say Watchmen. I thought they did as good a job as they probably could have adapting that to a movie, but it can't be as good as the comic because that was
close to it as they could.
Yeah. Cannot succeed the way the comic succeeded because the comic book takes the maximum potential of the comic medium and puts it on the page, whereas the movie has to cut things out. It can't have sort of subtle things like looking at all the clocks in the one chapter and knowing that all this has already happened. You can't do that in a movie. They didn't have time to do all of Lori's flashbacks. They had to really fast forward that whole scene.
Well, that's we're talking market scene. He watched Superman and Superman versus Batman versus Superman, and he watched the director's cut or whatever. And there's like 30 plus extra minutes. And he said, "Well, it wasn't that bad." And I'm like, "Well, 30 extra minutes can change a movie a whole lot.
It can." Sometimes one scene or one line of dialogue can drastically change.
And then the Watchmen theatrical version versus director cut, it's a big difference, you definitely get a lot more, and it makes a big difference.
I like how this is slowly turning once again, and we weren't even trying to do this, a session of us shitting on Zack Snyder.
Well, we're not shitting on Zack Snyder. We're shitting on.
We're shitting on Watchmen, which was Zack Snyder.
We're not even necessarily shitting on him. We're just saying that time, and what's in a movie and what's not in a movie can drastically change your finished product.
But I'm probably in the minority on this opinion. But I actually think the movies are better than the books for Lord of the Rings.
Don't look at me like that.
I love the books, but the books are a really meandering plot. It takes forever for anything to happen.
The books do meander quite a bit. And
I get that it's building a world and it does that masterfully, but it takes him 200 fucking pages to get out of the Shire.
Yeah?
It's way slow boil. Too much so, I'd say. whereas the movies really trim off the fat. Come on, Danny.
Well, Danny's over there messing stuff up.
Yeah.
Larry's giving him the death stare.
Larry's got...
Well, he's trying to half-ass hanging up $100 comic books.
Well, hopefully Larry...
multiple times.
Larry might have to go up and be a comic shop owner in a second.
Unlike your paycheck.
Oh, Bert.
Oh.
All
right. Okay.
All right, but I guess it's probably time to wind it down.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we should do final thoughts then.
Yeah.
You got anything?
I can't think of any other big news. I guess you start with final thought. I'm still thinking away.
Okay.
On the spot here, because Larry's gone. It's all on you, Adam.
Thanks. Well,
wonderful idea.
Welcome back to the podcast, Larry.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, we were starting up our final thoughts.
Final thoughts?
We're kind of stalling for time right now. Neither of us has one.
If you guys don't know, like, my real description here is to break stuff artfully. So I was just doing my job.
I don't know how artful that was, dude. You just kind of dropped
it. Hey, the dismount took some courage, okay?
Okay?
I was hoping for a scorecard.
I didn't have one on me. It probably wouldn't have been the best score. I mean, I think it probably would have been.
Hey,
you know,
that said it wouldn't have been
lower
bad
half.
Score, yeah.
What are you, the Russian judge?
Evidently, I'm being pretty harsh on this shit. Yeah. All
right. Screwed up.
Oh, you know what? There's a
final. Like,
there's a final thought I could bring up. How much of a shit show do we expect the Olympics to be in a few weeks?
It's not going to be pretty. I'm just going to say.
I mean,
that, yeah.
I, as far as I know, they still haven't finished some of the venues.
And
again, this is like a month from now.
Oh yeah, it's a month from now. They still have a big health crisis. There's still a ton of athletes.
On top of like the normal problems that would already be pretty bad as far as construction and everything goes, you have Zika.
Yeah.
You have a very unstable political situation where the people of Brazil are like a stone's throw away from open revolt.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
We're talking Summer Olympics in Brazil.
Summer Olympics in Rio, Brazil.
Fun fact, apparently the pollution is so bad and
it's like China.
Yeah, one of the bays that they're going to be swimming in has actual raw sewage for them to swim through.
That's fun.
Well, yeah, well, I mean,
so it's basically somebody took a dump in the pool before.
Yeah. A lot of big-name athletes are already kind of opting out, like most of the big NBA stars,
most of the NBA stars are not going.
Steph Curry, LeBron James, none of them are.
And then there's a big doping crisis. I mean, didn't most of, I think all of Russia's team.
Oh, yeah, their track team is disqualified from the Olympics.
It's crazy.
Well,
shit show.
Yeah, whether NBA stars should be in the Olympics is another thing.
Why shouldn't they?
I mean, okay, again, old man Larry doesn't understand our perspective, but that's been the way our entire life is having, like the Dream Team, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. That's my first Olympics I can remember. I don't remember it being any other way.
Well, I mean, they are an amateur athletic competition.
Basketball hasn't been that way in my living memory.
Right. Well, it is still written as the Olympics are supposed to be. Like, if you get paid to skate, you're not allowed.
That's probably where it's most strictly enforced is in figure skating.
Yeah, that's about the only place it's still enforced. Because, you know, they said, well, we want the Dream Team. And that's, we can't enforce it. Nobody can really enforce that. You know, you're not really going to have Olympics without Russia or America. After, like, 84, those were a disaster. But the Olympics have gotten to where they're kind of a plague on a nation.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely.
It was a net loss for London, and that's a pretty well established infrastructure they had there.
It's
that
been proven to be
things.
A net loss to most of the cities that host it.
Yeah, the tourism that it brings in does not counterbalance the construction costs that have to go in. And again, that's true for places that didn't have to do that much construction. Places like Brazil that have to do a lot of construction And yeah, it's gonna be really bad.
Well, and even like in Brazil, they're cutting down chunks of rainforest, you know, to build stadiums. I mean,
yeah, when they had the World Cup a couple of years ago, they built one stadium in like the armpit of the Amazon that is never going to be used again because the city there does not have enough of a population to support a soccer team. They spent millions of dollars building the stadium that has already had its final game.
I mean, there's tons of online. You can find tons of spooky photos of old Olympic sites and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're already working on what, like, the next Summer Olympics is going to be in Qatar or something?
The next World Cup is going to be in Qatar.
World Cup,
and people might literally die.
Well, I know people were dying building that, you know.
Yeah, people are not... They can't play soccer in an oven, which is essentially what they're going to be asked to do.
Hey, man, but Qatar had the biggest bid. They had the most money to give to FIFA.
Yeah, they greased enough palms.
Yeah. I love FIFA. It's a wonderful organization.
It is a literal cabal of super villains.
That's why I love it.
All the menacing characters we read about in our beloved comic books hold nothing to FIFA.
It's so sort of open about it that I'm okay with it. So,
well, that's the thing, is they're so powerful that they don't have to care if you know they're corrupt.
And it took Americans, the people who care about soccer the least.
Yeah, yeah, we're probably the only ones who could do it.
Well, that's like, you know, you're not going to get a bunch of Catholics to indict the Pope. You know, it's
that's
a religious territory.
Yeah. That's how it was in the Spotlight movie.
Well.
So, touche, Larry. All right.
Fair enough.
New final thought. We're doing that thing again where we talk about our final thoughts for an hour. Okay.
So what was your final thought?
Just about how that was a shit show. That was my final thought, so mine's done. So you're out of time, Adam. You gotta have a final thought.
Do I?
Yes.
So DC Rebirth has been great so far. If you haven't been reading it, you totally should. I'm not sure about this Brian Hitch Justice League book, simply because his last Justice League book still isn't even finished yet. But, you know, I'm willing to give it a shot.
I mean, that's only fair.
Yeah. And everything else has been great. So, yeah, kudos to DC for making me care again. Which, this time last year, I didn't think was possible. Because I had given up pretty much totally on DC.
Well, never say never, I guess.
I guess.
Well, this coming Friday, you know, we're going to get the Ghostbusters movie coming out.
Oh, man.
I hope it's good,
but I have reservations.
It'll never take the place of the original.
It can't. That's fair. But I really don't want this to be an excuse for all the misogynist shitbags on the internet to never make a movie with women again.
I have nothing against the cast. Nothing against the cast whatsoever. I just feel like the production overall is...
I'm not familiar enough with the cast to have anything against them. It seems like pointless gender swapping. Okay, whatever. But if it's fun... I mean, even when the original Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray were big-time comedians.
Yep.
And the only one really, is Melissa McCarthy and...
She's the only one that I don't like on the cast. But
Melissa McCarthy and then basically the cast of SNL.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it could be really good.
I hope it is. That being said, one thing I can say for certain is that the Fall Out Boy cover of the Ghostbusters theme
was terrible.
But then again, I think that Fall Out Boy in general is shit, so that's probably not an indictment on the movie.
Fall Out Boy was not the right choice to make the new theme song.
I mean, maybe I'm just biased because the old theme song is, in my opinion, the best theme song of all time. Second best being DuckTales.
But, yeah, the new Ghostbusters movie, you know, I'm wanting it to be funny. I really liked the first one.
You going
to
go see it this weekend?
don't know. Well, I'm sorry, not this weekend. Next weekend.
Larry.
Comes out July 15th.
Yeah, goof.
Sorry.
Which, I just feel like the whole production of this movie feels forced to me. Is the main problem that I have coming into it.
I mean, no more so than the other remake that's ever been done.
And then,
That's valid.
The week or so after that, we have the new Star Trek movie.
Well, we were talking about it last week.
Which,
I really don't care.
Now, I mean, and
I think
I'm
it'll be
saddened by that.
It'll be interesting
that I don't
to see.
Care as well.
I mean, I hate that too. I mean, I am excited for the new TV show, which I think is. I mean, Star Trek is, it just works better as a TV show.
Well, that's the medium that it was designed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Trek is a TV show. Star Wars
it's hard to
is
have,
a movie.
It's hard to have morality plays in the summer blockbuster format.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's hard to have Star Trek in the summer blockbuster format.
But both of these movies are kind of movies that have been... They've kind of lost the PR war before the movie even comes out.
Star Trek had the idiotic decision of dropping their trailer at maximum Star Wars hype, so it just got completely lost in the shuffle.
That
what hype there was all negative hype, because they were doing stupid shit like dirt bike jumps in a fucking Star Trek movie.
Well, the director of that movie is a director of the Fast and the Furious
movies.
That
is true.
Which is the only reason why I'm semi-interested in the movie, because it's a different director from J.J. Abrams. So I'm semi-curious to see.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if it gets back to more of a Star Trek-type feel to it.
I doubt it will, because...
You're counting on the Fast and Furious director to come in and add the poise and gravitas you need for it to be Star Trek.
Well,
what are you thinking, Larry?
Well, at least the Fast and Furious director can make
you know.
Me care about a group of people.
Fair.
Which J.J. Abrams has not done.
How much of the Fast and Furious resurrection is due to direction, and how much is it due to just the presence of The Rock?
You know, The Rock saves franchises.
If they come out and drop last-minute reveal that The Rock is in the
Rock,
new Star Trek movie,
The Rock hasn't
my
been
interest
in
is
a lot of...
Catapult.
Like, you know, he's in all of these movies, but he's not in all of these movies a lot. So they
well, that's the biggest complaint about Fast 7, wasn't it? That there wasn't enough Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
There's never enough Dwayne The Rock Johnson in any movie.
True. Even where he's like on the screen the entire time, there's never enough of The Rock.
Tooth Fairy.
I still found him immensely charismatic.
Okay, yeah. If you think that movie didn't have enough of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, there you go.
Man.
You're officially a fan.
Hey, man, it's better than Tooth Fairy 2 starring Larry
the
Cable
Guy. Okay, so I keep having to divide up the world's charisma, because now it's being divided between Will Smith, Oscar Isaac, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson might be Will Smith. Nowadays.
Nowadays. I feel like the torch may have been passed, as it were.
Old school Will Smith would definitely be The Rock, but...
Yeah.
Well, post-After Earth Will Smith.
Yeah, that was a bit of a damper. But honestly, there's not a movie that I'm definitely going to see, probably, until Doctor Strange comes out. And that's November, I think.
There's definitely no movie I'm excited to see until then.
Alright, well, I think with the Will Smith dampening of his charisma, he may have dampened summer blockbusters with him.
No, Suicide Squad will still make hand over fist.
I hope it's
just a ton of money.
But if you'd like to argue any of these things in person, please come see us.
Yeah,
every Wednesday.
We're always happy to have people jump in if they want.
Yeah. 7 o'clock. You can come join us live.
Yeah, that's a pretty loose start time. So just know that coming in.
Yeah.
And we end whenever we feel like.
Pretty much.
Okay. Or see us in Madison, Tennessee at Comic City 2. Or find us online at ComicCity2.com, OutrightGeekery.com. facebook.com/outrightgeekery/comiccity2. Check out some of the wonderful other podcasts we do. I believe...
I don't know the name of any of them.
Y'all are involved in some of them. This
Geek in Comics. Geek's Log, which is the Star Trek one. Instruments of Destruction, which is the Transformers one.
I did that one, too.
Getting Valiant, which I don't think we do, but we
that,
like...
That's Illuminati.
Yeah.
Which we are affiliated with.
Yeah, so one of our affiliates.
Yeah, so... See you next time. Such a horrible outro.